right. Everything, like Barbara was saying and Larry and Susie just said, everything is going your way. Literally everything. And I speak that every day because it's in the Word. All things are working together for my good and your good and the church is good. This whole thing, everything that's going on in the world right now is because of the church, his bride. Jesus is preparing a bride for himself. That's what the Bible says. So Jesus is preparing a bride, and he's going to make her ready, and it'll be perfect. So we have nothing to worry about. So everything's, like Barbara was saying, everything in this world is going our way. I don't care what it is, mask, riots, whatever, evil people. And everything in the, you just have to look at this world. Everything in this world, except for us, except for the church, that which is what good Jesus is doing, is all wicked to the hilt. Every denomination, every institution, everything that man does degenerates. It's just the way it is. I've heard people say this, even Christians say, well, man is improving all the time. I just laugh. I'm going, oh my gosh, we are worse than ever. It's just that it's just because of the internet and all that stuff. It's just that we can sin quicker. It has nothing to do, I mean, you know, I don't know how it improves our lives or not, but it hasn't improved my life any really, except for my cell phone because I use it for my business. But besides that, I don't know anything that I can think of that has actually improved my life or made me a godly, more godly man or improved my family's life or anything like that. So, and when I raised my kids, I have 6 children and soon to be 9 grandchildren, is that right? Yeah, 9. But all I want them to do, all, I don't care what they do for a living, I don't care if they collect garbage, I don't care what they do for a living, I just want them to be godly, that's all. A godly man, a godly woman. What they do for a living is totally irrelevant to me. Totally. I don't even think about it. I don't care what they do. They want them to do something because my kids are very industrious and they make their own money and stuff. But I don't care about that much. I just want them to be godly. The Bible does say if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. So everybody's got to work. It's just no big deal. It's just a promise. You know, I never looked at that as a law. Never, not once. Every morning when me and my son, not every morning, but when I do work, my son goes with me, Mathen, and we pray. And I say, God, thank you for work because you promised you'd give us work. And that's how he meets our needs. Thank you that our family can eat. Thank you that the kids are blessed. And, you know, I just thank God for everything. And that's how we live because to God be the glory. So he's the only one that gets the glory. Now, Jim called me last night, Pastor Jim, about 10:30. Gosh, I could have been, you know, doing something really evil, but I was actually reading my Bible. It was a miracle. I'm telling you, it was a miracle. Because Lee and I were just getting ready to go to bed, so an hour, I have an old Bible next to my bed. It's like one I bought probably 30, 40 years ago. Well, not 40. Well, probably 30 years ago, and it's been through a lot. So you open it up, and the pages just go flying everywhere. But anyway, so I happened to be doing that when Jim called, so whew. I wasn't, you know, drinking a beer or doing something evil. I was actually being holy, you know. Not really, I'm just teasing, but it was okay. Okay, so I'm going to read out of very familiar scriptures. When you're going through a trial or a problem or your sin, God's showing you sin, whatever, because we're always being chastened every morning, the Bible says. So whenever you're going through those things, you got to have a word from the Lord. That's why it's important for you to read your Bible every day. That's actually the word made flesh and dwelt among us was Jesus. We have a more sure word of prophecy. So it's great to get a personal prophecy, whatever people like to do and all that. But that's not really interesting to me. What's interesting, you can hear Jesus every day and talk to him, read His Word. And it's exciting. It's so neat that every situation you're in, it God has a solution. He has it's always Jesus. It's always, every time it's Jesus, you know, and He's always the answer. Because God is, we just sang that word, that song, and had the word sovereign in it. God is sovereign. And people hate that, especially charismatics and faith people. They hate that word. But He is sovereign. In other words, God's going to get His way. He sent His word. He sent His word. We'll read that in Isaiah 55. He sent His word to accomplish what He pleases. So you got to get on God's program. You don't have a program. Your program is worthless. Your works are worthless. If a man thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. You're deceived. So the only thing that makes us awesome, good, or anything is God. And every other thing in the world, have you noticed since the 70s, let's say, maybe, I don't know. This is all I know because that's when I was growing up in the 70s, and then I became a Christian in the early 80s. But I know that since then, God's been, you know, the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will be your God, and you will be my people, and all that. But that's what God's doing. It's like what Barbara was saying. So all the Baptists, all the Catholics, I grew up Catholic, all the Methodists, a bunch of them, not all of them, but a bunch of them are going to come out. And God's going to have them in the church, a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Because God has a people, even Catholics, believe it or not. Because I grew up a Catholic, have a lot of Christians in them. And Baptists do, and Methodists do, and Pentecostals do, and the faith movement, and all these different things. But the movements themselves, they'll always crystallize and turn into just human thing. Every you name one institution that the government started, that a church started, that any human being started, GoFundMe, whatever the things people do, it all degenerates so quickly, and it just becomes, you know, it just turns into psychology or socialism, or it turns into something that God didn't intend. So it's better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man or put your confidence in prince or even put confidence in yourself. But we all do. When you have, the reason why our country is in the trouble it's in is because of the church. The church is wholly given over to idolatry. That's us. So every day I repent. Every day, because I have lots of idols in my life. We all do. So you have to get rid of all those idols. It could be a person, people. It could be yourself, which it is. It could be, you know, because you want to be awesome. Everybody wants to be awesome. Wants to be something. But it's worthless. I'm telling you, it leads to nothing. You could be the best at what you do. I remember when before I was a Christian, I wanted to be the best marathon runner in the world. And I got pretty far as physically and mentally I could go. But it was still only 1%. There's still 1% of people better than me. So it hurt, you know, I knew I wasn't ever going to make it because I was already spent. So no matter what you want to do in life, you have to ask God. And let Him do everything. And you can be nothing. And it's awesome. It's better to be nothing than something. If you're something, then you are stressed out. You are. I mean, you have all kinds of problems. And you will, people do, that's why people do drugs and pills. And they put their hope in other things. Even medical. Even the medical institutions of this world have given themselves over to. You know, it's just all corrupt. But that's normal to me. I'm just like, that's totally normal to me. I never imagine when I go somewhere to a government agency or that I'm going to get a fair deal or they're going to, you know, if you get a speeding ticket or whatever, or you go to get some kind of justice or whatever, they just want money. It all boils down really to mammon. So that's pretty much the state of our country and the church. I'm talking about the church. But it's always good news. God never leaves us. Everything is working for our good, like Barbara said. Isn't it, Barbara? Everything. The coronavirus, that's working for my good. I mean, I've never been so excited about God's word as I've been since this whole thing started. Excited that God, Jesus is coming back. How do I know that? Because it says in the Bible he is. It's clear. He's going to come quickly. I don't know what that means, but it's not quickly like I think quickly is, or what you think quickly is. But Jesus is coming back. And will he find faith on the earth? Yes, he will. That was a rhetorical question, I think. Is that right? But anyway, well, Jesus is coming. Let me read you a scripture. This will really bless you today. This is in Ephesians chapter 2. It's a very familiar scripture. And this is my text for the day. And I have tons of other stuff I read in the Old Testament, in Gospels, Book of Revelations, everywhere. For by grace, this is verse 8, and this is very familiar, you are being saved. Not you are saved, you are saved, but you're being saved also. This is a continual thing. It's not just once I got saved when I was 5 years old, or I was 8 years old, or I was 25. It took me a long time. I was stubborn, wicked, and rebellious, and I still am. Saved through faith, so it's just faith, and this not of yourselves. This did not come from yourself. That's your wickedness. You think you have something to contribute to society, something to contribute to your life. Well, you cannot add one cubit to your life, to your stature. You cannot. You cannot do anything. You cannot add one thing to society. You cannot add one thing to your family. You cannot do anything except through Jesus Christ. Only God saves. Only God. Only Jesus. He is a name above every name. There's no other name under heaven. No, there's not one. And particularly not you. You cannot save yourself. I'm going to save myself. I'm going to go on a diet or whatever. Or start eating right. That's stupid. I mean, it's good to do that, but I'm just saying it's not going to save anything. Because you will, people aren't disciplined. You need discipline. And that's a fruit of the Spirit, which comes through Jesus Christ. So you need Jesus for everything. Even to be disciplined, even to be on a good diet, even to whatever. You got to have Jesus. Even to have a job, to love your wife, to love your children, you need Jesus. So you don't even have to worry about all that. I never worry about that kind of stuff, ever. Because I know Jesus will do it. He promised. If you get Jesus, you freely get all things. If you seek first the kingdom of God, then you get everything else. So why would I worry about anything? Why would I worry about when Pastor Jim called me last night at 10:30 and said, "Hey, you're preaching tomorrow." Because I know everything works together for my good. Everything. And I'm not going to worry about it. I went to bed just like I normally do. I got up this morning like I normally do. I read my Bible like I normally do. I said my prayers. I did all those things. But I would do that anyway. And that's because nothing is, like Barbara said, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed in my life. I'm not going to change my life for this thing. I'm not going to let it disrupt my life. I'm not going to let it change who I am as a Christian, what I say, what I think, what I feel. That's all up to Jesus. It's none of my business. He is pleased with all of you because he's pleased with Jesus. That's the end of the story. It's the end of the discussion. It's the end of everything. Jesus is the end of the law of righteousness. So all my righteousness, what I'm about to read, is in Jesus Christ. And that's a gift of God. In other words, you didn't pay for it. Nothing. He just gave it to you for free. And to me, that was good news. Growing up a Catholic, growing up the way I did, then totally rejecting that and going into the world and being totally evil concupiscence. I love that word because it kind of describes my life. So it was debauchery, wickedness, evil. And then Jesus saved me. I couldn't believe it. I still can't believe it to this day. Every day I'm amazed that I'm still alive, that God still loves me, that my family is in some semblance of order. I just can't believe it. If you knew, you would laugh too. So I laugh. I laugh every day. Every day I'm excited because I know that Jesus, that everything's going my way and I didn't even earn it. I'm just saying it with my mouth. I'm not even thinking it, I'm not even seeing it, or I don't care if I see it or don't see it. What's the difference? Moses, you know, everybody in the Old Testament, Moses, Abraham, David, Samuel, all of them never saw. They had faith, but they never saw. Never. Their whole life. Think about that. It was all for us. That's what it says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. It was all for you, for Barbara, for the Apostle Paul, for Peter, for all the saints from Jesus, when Jesus rose when he ascended into heaven. That was Abraham saw our day and he was glad. He saw the day of Jesus. So everything is written for your exhortation, for your comfort, to reprove you, for all that. So the whole Bible is written for Barbara. The whole Bible. That's why you got to read it. Oboe, it's the whole Bible is your Bible. I mean, it's written directly to you, not just to the saints in general. And all. It's written to us personally. So the Bible was written, and as a matter of fact, their faith cannot be. It says they saw the promises afar off, kind of like us. When God promises something, sometimes it's future, but because we have a promise of eternal life, but we don't see it. I never saw eternal life, ever, and you never have either. I've never seen Jesus with my eyeballs. I've never seen the Father. I've never seen anything. I'm just living totally by faith, just by what the Word says. The Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Well, that's just the way it is. So everything in the Bible is true, and it'll come out to be that way. That's what we're seeing right now. The world's always been like this. The United States has always been, we're just seeing it now. People hate one another. They despise one another. Everybody wants to be on top. The women want to be on top. The blacks want to be on top. The whites want to be on top. The Mexicans want to be. Everybody wants to lord it over people, but not Christians. We don't. We don't even care about that stuff. That stuff is worthless. It's not even in the Bible. It's just everybody's wicked. Everybody's wicked. That's when I go to Africa, I tell those Zambians, I told you guys, I said, look, you guys are exactly like us. There's nothing new. And they were. I noticed it; they were exactly the same. They lusted after money. There was sexual immorality. There was all kinds of evil concupiscence. I love that. I'm going to say that quite a bit. I love that word. Evil, there was this wickedness, but there was also joy unspeakable and full of glory because God forgave us. If God marked iniquities, who could stand? No one. So God doesn't even mark them. And to me, every day that rejoices my heart. It should yours too, because you are iniquitous and God has forgiven you all your sin. That's the end of this thing. You don't have to even worry about it. I don't even worry about sin. I never try to figure out what my sin is or if I sinned or didn't sin or anything like that. Who cares about that? That's God's business. Let God do his thing and you do nothing. You just enter into his rest. Okay, so anyway, I thought this was really good. So, where was I? Well, I'm reading my wrong Bible. Okay. In verse 9, it says, not by works. You never notice in the New Testament when it says works, when it talks about our works, it's always negative. When it talks about God's work, it's always good. Because good is perfect. God does a perfect work. And he does a perfect work for you. So, not by works, that word there, works is ergon, and it's That's what it means, what it means. Exactly what it means. It means works, to labor, to sweat. And not anyone should boast. So it's not by our works, because we don't have anything to boast in. But what do we do the most? What do people do most on Facebook? Most. 99% of, I look at it every now and then, Leah's thing, and it's always people are boasting. Now Leah, I told her not to, but she did it anyway. I remodeled our kitchen. I made these countertops. They're awesome. They are awesome. I'm boasting right now. So
sorry, Lord.
Well, she took pictures, and then she was going to put it on Facebook, and she did. At first, you know, I was like, you know, because I have a lot of false humility. Oh, Leah, don't do that. Don't put that on Facebook. It's just like you're bragging. But anyway, so anyway, she did, and I didn't care if she did or not. But I just imagine, I'm just like that. I just imagine everything I do is a sin. If it's not of faith, it's sin. So everything I do apart from Jesus is just sin. And I'm boasting in my flesh. Boy, I'm awesome. I'm a great person. I'm a good father. I'm a good husband, whatever. But that's all a lie. I'm not any of those things. Jesus is those things, but I'm not. I have nothing to do with it. I mean, if you knew me or Larry, because I only know me and Larry before we were Christians. You know, we weren't good people. Everybody would say we were good Catholic boy. You know, I don't know what we did. Whatever we did, we drank beer and partied all the time. And but we were, in the natural, it seemed like we were pretty good people, but we weren't. We were wicked to the hilt. No, I was. Selfish, vile, only was out for myself. And the only thing that's changed in my life is Jesus. That's it. And the Word of God, you know, of course, that is Jesus. Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. He is the Word of God. So the only thing that's different in my life is Jesus. And that's it. I didn't improve. I didn't become a better person. I didn't do anything. All I did was read the Bible and go to church and do all the things that a Christian's supposed to do. But it was good because it changed me. The Word of God kept after me and after me and after me and after me. And after a while, I was changed from one degree of glory to the next, just like you were. But if you get your eyes off of Jesus and onto your fruit, your bad tree, only bad trees can produce bad fruit. Good trees, Jesus said, produce good fruit. So the good tree is Jesus. He's a tree of life. And then there's bad trees that do bad fruit, like Eve ate the bad fruit. Forbidden. So that's all we can produce is bad fruit. You cannot produce good fruit. Jesus produces good fruit in you, for you first, in you and then through you. But the interesting thing to me is always for you. Because I know he's going to do the chair five. I know he's going to do the discipline and all that because he promised he would. Those he loves, he chastens. If you're not chastened to the Lord, then he doesn't love you. But he does because you're always chastened. And when you're chastened, it's so that you can be a partaker of his divine nature. When I correct Titus, which I need to do more often, right, Titus? Then it's not for his to hurt him or because he's irritating. He is irritating sometimes. But it's because I want him to grow up and be in fear of the Lord and be a Christian. That's it. I have no other goal for my kids. God makes everything so simple in your life. That way you don't have to worry about if they want to make a decision. You just go, yeah, when they get of age, you just say they want to go to college and do things and they want to sin. So, nothing you can do about it. Just got to let them go. Say, God, you promised. They know the truth. They know Jesus. They know this is the way to go. But if they go that way, then you know, they'll be back. Because life has a way of destroying you. Because you're not as smart and as brilliant as you think you are. You're not. I went to college. I thought, man, when I was in high school, I was awesome. This is what me thinking. I was popular. You know, I had a great, you know, supposedly great girlfriend that she was the head cheerleader. And I was great in sports. And I was finally, my senior year of my last semester, I got on the dean's list. I mean, on the high honor roll. Straight A's. And I was, man, I'll tell you, when I went to high school, I was failing. When I was my freshman year, but I only did it for selfish reasons, just so, you know, I could be popular and awesome. I didn't do it because I thought I was smart or anything. Anyway, I did really good in sports, but God has a funny way of doing things. I went to college, which is a huge mistake, because when I got to college, I was the only one there from my high school. So I was a nobody. Nobody even knew who I was. Yeah, I was depressed. So I went through 4 years of college totally depressed because I wasn't. Because, you know, when you get to college, there's smarter people. There's better athletes. You know, it's just huge. It's, you know, my little small high school pool, there was only 600 students in my high school, and it was small. So I could be awesome there. But once you get into the real world, you're nothing. You're just a nothing. So I went from something, then my mom and dad dropped me off at school and left. I was in shock because I was a nothing. I never got over it either until I met Jesus. Then I don't mind being a nothing. But before that, I was like, man, this is not right. I wasn't a Christian at the time, so I didn't know what to do. So, you know, I went to my normal thing. I just partied and, you know, carried on like an idiot for 4 years. And God miraculously kept me from jail, from being killed, miraculously. I went to the emergency room often. And I never, you know, I always came out the next day fine. I never liked doctors and hospitals, so I don't care about that kind of stuff. The doctors would fix me up, then I would leave. I'd take my own stitches out, do everything myself. I don't like going back. They'd always say, well, here, take these pills, and then come back in 2 weeks, we'll take the stitches out. So I would throw the pills away, and I'd take my own stitches out. I don't trust doctors. It's just the way it is. I was always, even before I became a Christian, I was kind of like that, kind of goofy like that. But anyway, so not by works that not anyone, anyone means anyone. It means everybody, Christians, non-Christians, anybody in the world should boast. No one can boast in anything. For we are his workmanship. You know what workmanship means in the Greek? It means we are his doing. So oboe is created in Christ Jesus unto good works. But it's his works. It's his fruit. It's his everything. It's all from heaven. It's not from oboe. Oboe is completely worthless apart from Jesus. It doesn't mean he doesn't love oboe. Of course, God loves the whole world. God so loved the whole world. He loves everybody. But it's just your works will be nothing. As a matter of fact, they'll all burn. When you get to heaven, all your works that you did will burn. All the works he did will be, you know, eternal. Because everything he does is eternal. That's what I was saying about my kids. I want Titus, who's not paying attention, I want him to have eternal life. It's great that your kids can be good and, you know, that they are successful and all that kind of thing in this world. I'm not against that at all. I'm just teasing about that. But that's not the most important. I've seen people. I've just observed, you know, I've been a Christian now for, gosh, Larry, how long has it been? 40 years. Definitely not my whole life. Yes, right. But 40 years I've been a Christian now. I think that's right. So forgot the point I was making. But but everything I've done since then, I've always had to. It has to be wrought in God. Everything you do has to be wrought in God. And you have to ask God. And then you just go with what, even if, like Jim always says, even if you make a mistake, you ask God, God, should I take this job or this job? Should I marry this person or marry this person? Now, God, in his mercy, when I married Leah, I already knew, even before we actually met. I mean, I saw her, and she was really pretty and all that, so I thought, well, she'd be a good wife. No, I knew she was a godly woman, so that's why. But even if you make a mistake, God will cover for you because all things are working together for your good. Oh, I took the wrong job. Man, now my life is ruined. See, I know Christians that thought this way, and to this day, their lives are really messed up because they made one mistake, and they thought that was, I should have did what God said. Now my life is ruined. Well, that's a lie. Because you're nothing anyway. Why would you think you were something when you're nothing? Why would God ruin your life as if you were going to do a good work anyway? As if you were going to hear him perfectly? As if you were going to be a good sheep or something? Well, you're already all that. It's just a gift. God just gave it to you already. So if you make a mistake, so what? Repent. And you can come boldly to the throne of grace just like you always do. Even in the midst of your sin. Come boldly to the throne of grace. You may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need, because that's what you need. You need mercy and you need grace. Amen. You don't need law and judgment. God's already judged you. You know, you've already been judged and been found righteous, perfect, blameless. You will be blameless. When Jesus comes back, you will be blameless. That means the devil can't accuse you. Jesus won't accuse you because he just gave you a gift. He gave you righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. So you have all that, and so you won't be judged. Amen. I know what the Bible says. You got to read it. You have to read. To understand the scripture, you got to read a lot. Otherwise, you get confused. Well, it does say, you know, that when we get to heaven, God's going to judge us by our works. Yeah, but they're his works. It's all his labor. Even Jesus. But Jesus already finished all that. You know, Jesus did that before the foundation of the world. All work was already done before the world even began. Isn't that crazy? I don't even understand that. I just believe it because I read it, but I don't understand it. I have no understanding. As a matter of fact, I don't even care. I just know it's true. You can't explain that. You can't teach that. Like love. You can't teach people to love one another. The Bible says you can't. You can't, you can't. But that's just because it's fruit. You just speak the truth about Jesus Christ, and then somehow it works. Somehow I love my wife as Christ loved the church. I don't even know how that happened. It's just Jesus. Jim didn't teach me that. No preacher taught me that. I just read it in the Bible, and I believed it. Somehow I believed it. So the belief is the thing that did it. I believed in Jesus, somebody totally separate from me. And then it happened, and because it's faith. You know why the Israel couldn't enter in to rest? Why Israel couldn't do anything? Why they were just evil to the hilt? Because they didn't have faith. It wasn't because they were bad. Of course they were bad. Everybody's bad. That's why they went into idolatry and all that stuff, because they had no faith. So faith is everything. If you read Hebrews chapter 11, everything they did was by faith. Even people getting sawn in half. How'd you like to get sawn in half? By faith. You're going to saw me in half? By faith. So anyway, everything that happens to us, persecutions, trials, all the things that happen to us is by faith. And me and Clay were talking earlier, because I've been reading Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel, so God always made a promise to David or to Saul or to somebody. He made a promise to, but it takes years. Isn't it crazy? I mean, I'm just like, God, why do you take so long to do everything? you promised David the kingdom, and then you wouldn't let him kill Saul, and so then the thing drug out for years and years and years, and David's being, spears being thrown at him, his wife is crazy, and all this stuff's happened in his life. Joseph, the same thing. You read the story of Samson, you wouldn't even think that guy was a Christian. But he was a pervert. He was just like me. So Samson, but I just look at all that and I think, golly, God, but God made a promise and he's going to have his way because he's sovereign. I'm not using that word too boldly, but God is sovereign because he takes care of us. And he made a promise to me when I got saved that he'd never leave me or forsake me, that he would be in control of my life, that he would do everything. And I said, okay, but even if I don't want you to do it, sometimes you got to do it anyway. Because most of the times I don't. See, that's how you talk to God. God, I want to be the best Christian. As a matter of fact, I want to be your favorite. Because the Bible says you are. Barbara, you're God's favorite. It says. Right there, it says. It says that we are an elect people. That means if you're elect, then you're his favorite. You're the best of the best. I mean, that's kind of a joke, isn't it? We're the best of the best. We're the best Christians. And everybody's sitting here in your pew, you're the best Christian. I know it's sad for God, but it's true. So we are God's favorite. We are his chosen. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And all those things are true. But when God does all that, that's just his gift. It's nothing I did. And the only character I have, the only virtue I have, comes from Jesus Christ. That's it. I have no other righteousness. I have no other agenda. None. I have no agenda. I don't even know how I'm going to retire. I'm 62 now, so man, I better start thinking about that maybe. But no, I'm just kidding. But really, we have no other agenda. I know how Pastor Jim is. When he called me last night, I could tell he was happy. He goes, he doesn't even say, hey, this is Jim. He just goes, yahoo! And then I know it's Jim. I know it's Jim. Actually, I know it before then because I can see it on my phone. It's either Peggy or Jim. I don't know who it is. But I know if it's Jim, it's going to just, he'll just say, hey, Jim. And he goes, you're preaching tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Preach out the book of Galatians, because he knows I read Galatians every day. So anyway, God is good. Okay, let's read it. It even gets better. Okay, so that word workmanship means his doing. It's his doing. If you read the Old Testament, it's the same. God's the only one that works. He's the only, it says in, I think it was Isaiah 50:43. It says, only God, that means only in Hebrew. That's a joke, but it does. Only God saves. If only God saves, then only God saves. The noble can't save himself. He can't save his wife. He can't save his family. He can't save his neighbor. He can't do anything. I can't do anything either. I just do everything by faith. If I speak a word like today, it's just by faith. Because I don't know anything. I know nothing. God knows everything. And his word will go forth, Isaiah chapter 55, his word will go forth and accomplish exactly what he set it forth to accomplish. It cannot be changed. It cannot be thwarted. The devil cannot do it. The devil's not winning. The devil's not winning. I'm telling you, the devil is not winning. You think he is. As a matter of fact, the only reason why the wicked prosper is so that they can be cut off. Because God has a plan for his people, for his church. Those enemies you see today, you won't see them anymore. They'll be caught in their own trap, their own devices. Everything, they'll rejoice that they're winning, that they get a thing done or whatever. It won't last. It'll be nothing. As a matter of fact, it'll just make us stronger. The more they persecute us, the more they cut our heads off, the more they do all that stuff, then we'll just get stronger and stronger. It happens. Happened in the book of Acts. Every time Stephen got persecuted, they stoned him. I believe because Paul was there holding all the coats and stuff. I believe that's why. That's one of the things that led Paul to the Lord, was that watching this guy die and the things he said, forgive them, you know, and all that. So it could have been. I mean, I don't know it for sure, but I'm just saying God's word is never returns void. And he was after Paul because he had a mission for him. Even before Paul was born, God already had it set forth that Paul would be carry the gospel to the Gentiles. Peter would carry it to the, he did to the Gentiles also, but it was mostly for the Jewish nation. And God had a plan for Philip the evangelist. He had a plan for everybody. He has a plan for you. Exactly, you will do exactly everything God says you are supposed to do. All of you. Every kid here, all the Coopers, all the Floods, boys, and all my children, they'll do exactly what? Because it's already done. If it's already done, then it's a done deal. You can rest in it. But what if you get killed? What if I die or whatever? I don't know. All I know is what the Bible says. People always worry about that. Whenever there's a doctrine or something that people don't like. But what about this situation? What about this? Or what about that? I don't know. I just know what the Bible says. So I don't know anything else. So I don't. Your situation, I never heard of that, but it could happen, I guess. I don't know. Okay, not by works that anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, his doing, created in Christ Jesus. When you were born again, you're a new creation. Old things are past, all things are become new. Everything's going your way. Everything. Your life is hid with Christ. Your life is over. And I don't know how I knew that, but when I became a Christian back in 1981, I think it was 81, I just knew my life would never be the same and it was over. Whatever life I had, and it was, that night, that minute, that second, even physically I could see the difference in my life. I had no desire to drink anymore. I had no desire to cuss, which I cussed all the time. I had no desire to keep my girlfriend or do anything. I just knew my life was totally Jesus. And I knew that it would never change. That would never change. And when I got saved, all of a sudden, every denomination, I think, every cult in the world came knocking on my door. But I never flinched even for a second because I knew it was Jesus. If they didn't say Jesus, they weren't talking about Jesus or anything, I was not interested. It was Mormons, there was, I don't know, some weird cult. I don't even know what they believe. A local church. It's called a local church. It's kind of a weird cult. But anyway, there's a bunch of different ones that came to the door. Jehovah's Witnesses. I mean, you name it. And I never, even though I didn't know a whole lot, I didn't even ever read the Bible. But I knew that, man, this Jesus guy, he's awesome. He still is. Hasn't changed. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is not going to change for the coronavirus. He will not change for riots. He will not change for anything. He's the same. And you just got to keep doing what you're doing. Just keep loving Jesus. Keep praying. Keep ministering to your family. Keep doing all the things you've always done. And just keep going. Don't worry about it. That's God's problem. The United States is not my problem. I cannot help it. I can only do what I can do. I can't do what Jesus can do. So you can vote and go to the convention, which I have done, and you can go to do things, but you can only do what you can do. And you can't make people change. I mean, I have no authority. I mean, the enemy is so powerful. It's like Goliath. When David, I just read that story, Goliath. Goliath was a formidable. And so were the Philistines. They were huge, and they were big, and they had a lot of big army. Israel had nothing. They had Saul, and they were all, it said that the Israelites were all shaken in their armor. I'm sure it was an awesome sound. It might have scared the Philistines. I don't know. But and that's how our enemies are. They're way too much. I even tell God, I go, man, it's way too much. I don't even know what to do or to say. I'll just seek the kingdom of God. Go spend some time with Jesus. And I don't know what to do. You know, people want to talk about it all the time, but it's worthless. It's not going to help. So the way we're going to change our society or change our whatever is not to. You just got to seek first the kingdom of God, because you'll be worthless. Even if you knew all the tricks, even if you were the best debater in the world, the best whatever, orator, it's not going to help. Unless Jesus is in it, unless the Spirit of God does it, it won't be done. You know, when I'm sick, I know I'm going to be sick. Unless God heals me, then I'm going to be I'll have to take go to the doctor and get a pill for the rest of my life. I don't want to do that. I'd rather die or whatever. But I'm just going to trust. You have to trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean upon your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. He will direct where you need to go. Not by works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before prepared that we should walk in them. So, the preparing, God did all that. And you will walk in good works. Joyce, your works are awesome. We all have awesome work because of Jesus. I'm not bragging on you or me or anybody. I'm just saying Jesus is awesome. So I know I've done good works, but I don't even know what they are because I don't ever look. Who cares? It's none of my business. That's God's business. All works are God's business. He's the only one in the universe that does good works or wondrous works. If that's true, then let him do it. I'm not going to help him out. I'm not going to help him with my life. I'm not going to help them. I'm just not going to. I'm just one person. I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm barely surviving myself. I don't know how am I going to help somebody else. So I'm just looking to Jesus. And if he wants me to be, and everybody has their own gift that God's given you. He's given everybody, Barbara, all you ladies, everybody over here, everybody has a measure of faith. Pastor Jim has a measure of faith. He has a gift. David Borchert has a gift. David Halverson has a gift. I have a gift. Larry has a gift. Jeff and David Cooper and all the ladies, all you all have gifts. And God's given you that measure of faith to do whatever you got to do. But it's the whole body. It's not like everybody can't, like Jim can't do everything. And he doesn't. If you ever notice that Jim just lets things go. I do too. I do the same thing, but because I can't do everything. I just can't. I physically cannot do everything here at the church and do all the stuff that you can do a lot, but you can't do what you can't do. So you just got to let it go and pray and just let God do it. I can't save my kids. You can't either. You can't save your kids. You just got to let them go. And sometimes they do stupid, evil things. And you can't change that. You just got to forgive them. And say, hey, I know you did that, but we forgive you, and so does Jesus. So it's all, I'm not even going to think about it anymore. And that's happened with our kids, too. We're a normal family. And that's what I did. That's how I handled it. I said, Jesus, because they're already adults. You can't spank them or anything. So I just say, you know, we forgive you. It's stupid. It was evil, wicked, demonic. Shouldn't have done that. I'm clear about that. But then I'm like, but Jesus forgives you, and so do we. Well, who am I to judge? I've done 10 times worse than that. I mean, if my mom and dad knew what I did, they would be pretty upset. And they're in their 90s. My mom might not remember. Good thing my dad passed away, and my mom can't remember, so it's good. So they still think I'm a good person. Praise God, I'm a good person. Okay, so Isaiah 55. I just want to read a little bit of this, and I'll be done. Okay. This is so awesome. Verse 2, I'm going to start in verse 2. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? There you're spinning your wheels. You're just under a law. You're trying to sacrifice to God, trying to please God, trying to please your parents, trying to please yourself, trying to please whatever. And your labor for that which is satisfies not. It'll never satisfy. All the sin in the world, pride, lust, greed, depression, you just name a billion things, it will never satisfy. That's why people have to do it. That's why when you get hooked on drugs or alcohol, you have to do it more. Well, I used to drink one glass of wine a week. Now I drink two a night. Well, that was a gradual thing. It's just because, you know, it never satisfies. The Bible even says that drink never satisfies. You have to do more and more and more and more and more until, you know, you have problems. And eat that which is not good. And let your soul delight itself in, I can't read that word, I got it all scribbled out, fatness. So if you're fat, you are awesome. No, just kidding. That's not what it's talking about. It just means you're going to be blessed. Incline your ears and come unto me, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. That's talking about Jesus. That's Jesus. The sure mercies of David. That's Jesus dying on the cross. Jesus' death, your life. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Again, it's talking about David, it's talking about Jesus. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, Gentiles, and nations that knew not thee shall run into thee because of the Lord thy God, for a Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. So when you're glorified, this is talking about Jesus, but I'm almost talked about the bride a little bit. The bride is glorified when you go through this process here and you're being discipled and you're chastened every morning. It's just so you be glorified. So people will see you and they will see your good works and they will glorify the Father in heaven because you're a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. You're already there, but God's, I don't know, it's just interesting how the Bible works. Even though you're already seated in heavenly place with Christ Jesus, and you're already sanctified, you're already redeemed, you're already all those things, you just don't see it. David was king, but he wasn't. Saul was king. God, did you mess up something? But he didn't. He just, God, his ways are not our ways. He gives you everything first, and then he works it out in your life. Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world, but he was just slain 2,000 years ago. I mean, you know, you just can't figure God out. Because he doesn't deal with time and space like we do. We deal with time and space. So we want things to be done now. And patience is a fruit of the Spirit, which you do not have. All the fruits of the Spirit you do not have. You do not have love. You do not have joy. You do not have peace. You don't have any of that stuff. God has all that, and he just gives it to you for free. That's just what it said in Isaiah. Come and buy bread, the bread of life, Jesus, without money. When I was a Catholic, you had to burn, when you burn the thing, the candles, and so you had to pay money. If you said a prayer, you had to pay money. If you had to do anything, you had to do a work. If I wanted my sins to be forgiven, I had to say 10 Hail Marys and 5 Our Fathers. If I wanted anything, I had to work for it. Even though it was simple, I still couldn't do it because I was a kid. You know, I didn't care about that stuff. So the priest would say, Danny, you did bad. I said, yeah, well, whatever. Okay. See, I'd say 10 Hail Marys. So I would sit down. It'd take me like 2 seconds. I'd go, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary. And I was done. Because I don't even know if I had it memorized. So I couldn't say it anymore. Okay. So, verse 4, behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, nations knew not thee, shall run into thee because of the Lord thy God, for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek the Lord while he may be found. This is the time to seek the Lord. Now, today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to seek the Lord and call ye upon him while he is near. Because there's a time when you won't be able to do that. Because it'll be over. There's the beginning. It's like a, I'm not very good at English, I guess essay, whatever you, if you write something, you have a beginning, you know, a statement or whatever. And then you have God created the heavens and the earth. Then you have a middle, you know, the narrative and all that. Then you have the end, and it ends. And God has that too, except we keep going and going and going. But this world has an end, what you see, because it's just temporal. Everything you see, is even your own body is temporal. It's corruptible. Everything's being corrupt. Like I said, that's why I was telling you spiritually that happens too. That's why every principality, powers of darkness of this world that we're fighting against, that's the whole world. Every institution, Planned Parenthood, you name anything, it just degenerates. The medical industry, the pharmaceutical industry, even the way we do our money, economic systems, everything corrupts. Why? Because men are doing it. Men are corruptible. I'm corruptible. And if they're doing it, that's why we had a different government than other countries, because men are corruptible, and our forefathers knew that. And they said, well, look, the only way this is going to work is if we have Christians. If they don't have Christians, this government's not going to work, which is true. That's the way it turned out. But we're not. It's not over yet. No matter what happens, I'm happy. Whether we get back to that or we don't, even if we don't, I'm not. United States is not my hope. I love the United States. I'm a patriot and all that stuff. But I don't put my hope in it. Don't put your hope in that. Don't put your hope in Israel. Israel is. Don't put your hope in them either. Put your hope in Jesus. He's the one that's going to save Israel. Israel's not going to save itself. Sorry, they're not great and awesome. They're wicked and evil, just like us. And God, Jesus, is going to come and save a remnant of them, a remnant of us, and it's going to be over. It'll be awesome. And we'll rule with Jesus forever and ever and ever. Because we're his bride. We're his house. We're the house that he's building. You know the mansion you have in heaven? It's not a mansion, it's you. It's where God dwells. God dwells in you. He's the house. We're the house that he's building. And you don't understand that. And I do not understand that because it's in heaven. But I see it by faith. But I don't know what it is exactly. I can't tell you if you're going to have your little puppy dog up there or not, or if you're going to have candy or ice cream. I don't know. I don't care about that stuff. All I know is Jesus will be there. It'll be awesome. Okay. Seek the Lord. I'm going to read this real quick, and then I got to be done by 12:30. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. God's always ready for. He always has his hand out with mercy, always. Free. Don't have to pay. Don't have to clean up. Don't have to do anything. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Wow, that is awesome. I just know it's, if you are forgiven much, you love much. Forgiven little, you love little. Most Christians are lukewarm because of that very reason. They still think they're good. They still think they can do something. They still think they're awesome, like I was in high school. I thought I was awesome until I hit the brick wall, then I wasn't so awesome. You know, everybody thinks they're awesome, then they're not. Then you have to go to Jesus. He's awesome. That's good. It's not bad for you. It's good for you. It's good for you to be chastened every morning. Every morning, I quote that scripture every morning. It's in Galatians chapter 6. It says, if a man thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. That's why every man's a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. Because every man lies to himself. I'm something great. If only I were president, or if only I was, you know, this, or only if Pastor Jim would step down and let me be pastor, that would be so much better. You know, people are evil. We are evil. Okay, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. What's good? That means I trust him. I don't have any thoughts. My thoughts are all evil. Even if they were to bless somebody, I would bless them, it would be evil. I mean, I don't even know. I don't even think about that. But I know my thoughts are not his thoughts. The Bible says, think on these things. whatever's true, and it has a list of things, but it's just Jesus. So think on Jesus. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his ways higher than our ways, and his thoughts than our thoughts. For as the rain cometh down from the snow from heaven, and return to not then return back, but waters the earth, and maketh it to bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. This is not talking about agriculture, it's talking about the Word of God. So shall the Word of God be that goeth forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So that's it. That's the Word of the Lord is, His Word is, actually you're born again by the Word of God. You heard a word, you're born again. You heard a word by faith, you got baptized in the Holy Spirit. You heard a word from heaven, you got healed, physically healed. Or you're being sanctified by the Word of God. As a matter of fact, a husband, that's how he cleanses his wife. He washes her with the water of the Word. So the prophecy, the Old Testament even, was written by the Holy Spirit. It says that in 2 Peter chapter 1. So the Holy Spirit wrote the whole Bible for you, not for Moses, not for Abraham. They saw our day and were glad. All of them did. David did too. Oh God, create in me a clean heart. You can read it in Psalms, all those things. So the Old Testament was written for your comfort, for your example, so you wouldn't fall in their evil ways, which we did anyway. But we still have a good God who's abundantly, I just read it in Isaiah 55, he abundantly pardons, abundantly. That means as far as the east is from the west, doesn't even remember it. God's not like, Barbara, you sinned today. I mean, he doesn't talk like that. You just look at Jesus, his how holy he is, and you say, oh, man. Kind of like Isaiah, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And then I said, whoa, man. Remember Isaiah? He was like, wow. And Isaiah was pretty awesome, you know. But he saw the Lord high and lifted up, Jesus. He saw Jesus, and then he was undone. Haven't you ever felt like that? If you're not undone, then you're still doing stuff for God, or you're still awesome. If you're undone, then you're undone. But I can't do that. You can't do that. You just have to ask God, God, undone me so I don't think I'm so great and prideful and wicked, evil, idolatrous, or lukewarm, thinking I have need of nothing, that I'm rich in increase of goods, of need of nothing. That's just pride. Pride's a killer, man. You can't get rid of it. I can't. I don't even try anymore. I used to try to be humble. But, you know that song that says, oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. But it is hard to be humble. Because, even if we don't think we're perfect, we think we're good, or we think we're something. We think we're something. And we're nothing. But we're deceived. I just say, God, I'm a liar. You're true. So just humble me or do whatever you do. Get rid of all my sin. I'm not going to help you, though. I'm just going to do my life. I'm just going to wake up and do whatever you tell me to do, hopefully. But if I don't, but if I miss you, then I miss you. So, Father, we thank you that your word is true. It never, ever returns void. And it accomplishes exactly what you set it forth to come, what pleases you. So, Father, we thank you that everything we pray for, everything we desire, comes from you. Lord, you give us the desires of our heart, not of our flesh. So I pray everyone here, Lord, that their desires that they want in the flesh will just all die and go away. And everything they desire in their heart, which is Jesus himself, that they would find. You said in your word that if we seek you, we will surely find you. So we cannot make a mistake doing that. If we seek the Lord, we will find him. That's what you promised, God. So we thank you that we, everyone here, that we would seek the Lord with all, while he can be found, and that we would be, then everything else would be added to us. So we don't have to worry about anything in this world, nothing, nothing, nothing. Not food, not raiment, not children, not grandchildren, not husbands, not wives, not in-laws, outlaws, whatever. We don't even look at that. We just look to you. And you add everything to us. Everything. Everything. You said everything, so we don't have to worry about it. And so I thank you, Father, for blessing everyone here. If anyone needs healing, God, I pray you heal them just by the word. Not by because somebody laid hands on them, or something, but just by the word of God. The word of God came and healed and set free and did everything. So we thank you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace, your mercy. Thank you that we are abundantly, abundantly pardoned through Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
God is so good. God is so